Good morning. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts at chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's just pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that talks about the Ethiopian eunuch, how he read the word and was convicted and became a follower of Jesus. We also thank you that Philip decided to publicly declare his faith by being baptized. And we just thank you for each one who is baptized here this morning again, that they've declared their faith in you. And we just pray that as they go out from this place today, that they would honor and glorify you with their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This morning I was sharing with the men upstairs just before the baptismal service about a situation that I found myself in many years ago. I was going around the world a trip, and then in Thailand I wanted to go to a church. So the only church available that was there in that neighborhood was a Thai church, a church that was using the Thai language. And so I went there with a few others, and we sat there not realizing that there would be no translation or anything like that. And after a few minutes, I realized that I was as if I was in my own church. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, sort of connects you to the spirit of the people there worshiping God. They were singing in their language, and in my heart, in my mind, I was singing the same thing as, you know what, this young lady here who plays the piano, sometimes she sings in Armenian while we sing in English, and it's a little confusing, but I want to join her in Armenian. So, you know, that's how it is. You feel like singing that hymn in your own mother tongue or father tongue. As I said, it was very blessed. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who come to this church or may go to any church, and the message is in their own language, and they leave the church and they remember nothing because they were there and yet nothing happened to them. As I said, many people go to church, stay for an hour or two there, and then leave church unchanged. But in Acts 8, we see a man who refused to do that. Let's look at his example and learn from it. As a matter of fact, his example should challenge each one of us and change us if there is a change to be made. A government official from Ethiopia travels to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. He attends the Passover service or services and celebrates, and now he is returning home feeling empty. There are millions of people who will travel thousands of miles to go to Mecca, to go to Jerusalem, to go to Rome, to go to a particular place where they feel that it's very historical, and they want to go back to their roots, religious roots, and so they travel. But when they leave that place, many of them can take nothing with them, regardless of what religion or what denomination you are. Unless God speaks to you, unless you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and unless the heart changes, then the whole trip may be only just a trip. On his way home, while crossing the desert, he reads the Bible, but it seems that he is having difficulties in understanding what he is reading. Why? Because his vacuum was still there. Because he had searched to find God. Because he had traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And he was hoping and praying, maybe in his heart, to finally meet his Creator, to finally have that peace and serenity and joy and the assurance that he has found God. He had all that in mind, but when he was returning home, he didn't feel that way. Well, obviously, he didn't go to the evangelistic meeting where Peter or the other apostles were having. He went to the temple. He went to the activities and the traditional worship of God. The other day, I was talking to someone, and he said, actually, I was at the barbershop. That's where I meet many who will pretend to be Christians because they were born in a Christian country, and yet when you start talking to them about God and their faith and their the life and eternity, they will say, I don't understand any of that. So you have this Ethiopian, the very educated man, a government official, a religious man in his heart, searching and searching to find God, and yet he hasn't found him yet. So he goes into the scriptures. He's reading the Bible. His hungry heart is yearning to find God, his Creator. Now, back in Samaria, Philip is having a great success. People are coming to confess their sins and are being saved. The Holy Spirit is at work. Lives are changing. And the disciples are celebrating and are having a very exciting time. Well, we do experience that sometimes when we go to a crusade. And I have been to a couple of crusades. And when the altar call is made, you have all kinds of people coming, and people at the choir is singing, and people are raising their hands, and there's a lot of excitement, and lives are being changed, or at least some lives are being changed. And that's exactly what the scene was, the picture is. And Philip is there rejoicing and enjoying the Holy Spirit's presence in that congregation, or group of people that have gathered. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit does something very interesting. But God is looking at and following a man, one man in the desert who is not even a Jew. He is a lonely Ethiopian. Someone may say, well, what's more exciting? God should have been looking at these thousands or hundreds of people who have gathered there, and lives are changing, and people are excited, and God is being glorified. Why is he following one single man who is so discouraged that he is returning home empty. And he's saying, where am I going to find God? But God knows the heart. And because God knows the heart, and the person who searches to find God finds him, because God makes himself visible and available. And so this Ethiopian man is traveling, reading the Bible, and Philip is enjoying all this crusade and everything that is going on. God is very pleased with what is happening in Samaria, but he wants to help the lonely Ethiopian in the desert who is searching to find God and peace. So God sends Philip to find this spiritually hungry Ethiopian. This morning I was sort of putting some humor about Greg and Vi, who were returning from Toronto. And I said they will leave Toronto at 5:30, and they'll be here for the baptismal service. And some of the men said, oh no, they will never make it. I said, unless like Philip, they are transported by God right here. And they were. I think God helped you be on time. Philip leaves a large, successful meeting to reach just one man in the desert. Now, if I was the one, or you were the one, enjoying all this beautiful blessing, would you leave that and go and visit a man who is reading the Bible and can't? He's not even a Jew, he's Ethiopian. Just leave your wonderful experience and go and travel there or be taken there to explain one verse or few verses to Ethiopian. Well, you know, Philip did not complain. Philip obeyed the Holy Spirit and went wherever the Holy Spirit led him. God reaches one person at a time. Why? Because God knows the value of one soul. One soul. Now, we don't know, obviously, what happened with the Ethiopian when he went back home, and he started then sharing his testimony. He would go back and say, you know what? I was just baptized a day ago or so, like these men will be saying, I suppose, I hope, to others. And they would say, why were you baptized? And then he'll be testifying, giving his testimony. And we don't know how many people turned to God through that one act of obedience of Philip and the response of this Ethiopian man. Jesus died for individual sinners. For the Bible says, for whosoever believes in him will not perish. Jesus cares for you, no matter where or who you are. You may be a Catholic, you may be a Protestant, you may be a Hindu, Buddhist, an atheist, as someone who doubts the existence of God. It doesn't matter. God is interested in you. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants you to have peace and joy and the assurance that when you die, your soul will be in the presence of God. That's all God wants. God wants to bless you. Your hungry heart is important to God. God meets a person who searches for him, and God makes himself available to the person who wants to have him as his Lord and Savior. And here is a man who is searching. The Passover has not ended his search. He is still searching. Religion alone cannot satisfy the soul. Religion alone does not satisfy the soul. Religion keeps you busy. Religion satisfies some of your senses, beautiful music, beautiful smells, beautiful people, and you feel good because you are very active in your religion and because you are an elder, a deacon, a pastor, a priest, a teacher, whoever you are. And yet, unless you have invited Christ in your life and you have surrendered your life to him, you won't have that experience of a changed life. The Passover didn't do anything for him. He takes his search to the Bible. Finally, he goes full circle. He probably knew the Bible. He probably had a Bible, obviously, because he's reading it. He probably had practiced religions. And finally, he goes back into the Bible. That is why I say, don't trust anyone unless it is from the Bible. And what I mean, if you hear of a doctrine, if you hear of a philosophy, if you hear of something that may excite you or make your faith easier to live, please remember that it should be compared, it should be in the Bible, and should come from the Bible. And unless it comes from the Bible, then question it. Don't be satisfied with religion alone. Come to Jesus in faith and you'll find him. In Jeremiah 29:13 we read, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Philip gets to the point and asks, "Do you understand what you're reading?" A lot of people read the Bible but don't understand it. Philip asks the question and he gets the answer. A question that offered help. Philip was a deacon. Diakonos is the Greek word, which means a server. He was not a pastor or an evangelist, but that did not stop him from winning souls. Philip just listened and responded to the Holy Spirit. Philip helped the searching man to find Christ. What about us? What about you? Do you care about others? Are you willing to be used by God to help others find Christ? Remember that Jesus is the answer for every empty and troubled heart. People say, well, you are one-track minded, and there are those these days who believe that all religions lead to God. And, you know, someone once said, in a workshop I went, he claimed to be a Christian professor, and yet he was saying that all tunnels lead to God, no matter what religion you have. And yet, if he is called, or if he calls himself a Christian, then that's very hypocritical, because a Christian is someone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. A communist is someone who has accepted communism. A capitalist is someone who practices capitalism, and we have titles and names for people who follow some philosophy, some doctrine, some political group. And yet when it comes to Christianity, everyone who says I'm a Christian, that's not how it works, because over 2 billion people claim to be Christians and yet don't practice their faith or their belief, or if they believe at all. He emptied himself from his glory, that is, Jesus emptied himself from his glory in heaven and came to this desert called earth to save me and you. As Jesus left his glory, God left his glory to come to this earth, and for the unbeliever, this makes no sense. And to the person who doubts the Bible, this may not make any sense. And to the person who says, I'm a Christian, and yet he cannot understand how can God empty himself and come to this earth to become one of us, to save us, he does not understand God. The Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship him should worship him, must worship him in the spirit and truth. If God is who he says he is, then it's possible for him to be at any time, any place, and do as he wishes. We have to believe him. Jesus fills the needs of every troubled heart. The Ethiopian man accepted the message, believed it, and wants to be baptized now. And he wants it immediately, in obedience to the word of God. And here you have an Ethiopian who did not go through the religious process of being indoctrinated in some kind of a religion. The other day I was sort of responding to a question, and I said, when 3,000 people were converted or became Christians, all of them, the Bible says that 3,000 people accepted the Lord and confessed Him as their Lord and Savior, and they were baptized and joined the church. And here you have an Ethiopian who accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and within a few minutes he is baptized. Baptism is not to become holy. Baptism does not change anyone. Baptism is not a magical, the water is not any purer or cleaner than any water in your tub. Or baptism does not regenerate anyone. Baptism is only the outward expression of the inward change that has already taken place. In other words, spiritually, emotionally, your soul has been changed because you are now a child of God, because you invited God and said, God, I need your help. I've tried everything. I've tried religion. I've tried drugs. I've tried drinks. I've tried pleasure. I've tried philosophies. And I still feel empty. Pascal knew something when he said, in every human being, there is a God-shaped vacuum yearning to be filled. That hole will always be whole because that hole, nothing will fit in that hole except God can come and satisfy that soul. And the Ethiopian understood that. He wants to demonstrate his faith to others. There were others traveling with him. Obviously, he wasn't the only one, and they all saw and witnessed the change in this man. He declares his faith by his word and baptism. First, he said, I accept, and then he was baptized. That's exactly what these six men did this morning. Believe me, they don't necessarily agree with every detail of their understanding of the Bible. And yet they all agree in one fundamental thing, that they all these six men needed Christ, needed salvation, needed to be transformed, and surrendered their lives. And now they are his followers, his disciples. And so that connects them all together, is the blood of Jesus Christ and his salvation that has united them and has made them to ask for baptism. Again, people have misunderstood baptism. This morning up there, for a moment we said, how many of us were not baptized as little babies? And we all agreed, only a young lady who was there, born in this church, was not baptized as a little baby. All of us were baptized because we come from different cultures, different religious groups, and we were baptized as little babies. And yet that baptism is wonderful for the parents, is wonderful for the church, but does not do very much for the baby. The baby does not understand and did not ask to be baptized. Never knew what was happening. As a matter of fact, probably felt very uncomfortable. That was the first baptism as we So, but the second baptism, or the baptism that we experienced this morning, is the willingness of the person who has been transformed and changed. Metamorphosis, the Greek word is beautiful, which means has been transformed. Now he or she is so happy and ready to declare Jesus as his or her Lord. That's why they were baptized. And so this Ethiopian did the same. He knows and experiences what really joy can be now. In Acts 8:39 we read, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch, the Ethiopian, did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Well, that's what it does. It makes you rejoice and feel the presence of God. God knows the need in your heart. Christ is your answer. Trust Him and find in Him all you need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for caring for each one of us. Thank you for the value that you have put on each soul. And the value is priceless. And Lord, because each soul is priceless, regardless of where we come from, what our religion is, color is, culture is, or whatever, we are very important to you. And Lord, thank you for Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our salvation. I pray this morning for the six young men who were baptized. Please strengthen them, guide them, protect them, and help them to be reflecting you wherever they are. And Lord, touch each one of us this morning. Help us, strengthen us. If there is someone here that his or her life is in turmoil and needs healing, please touch this soul. If there is a family that is going through difficulties this morning, you are the only answer to this family. Please be with them and strengthen them and help them. And now, Lord, we ask you please to guide each one of us and help us to reflect you in our daily lives. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Amen.